and Mary was, to Bobby's relief, silenced, at least temporarily. The static snowstorm cleared, and an image, a little blocky but immediately recognizable, filled up the soft screen. They were looking down over Kate's cubicle, a couple of floors above them here at the Wormworks, but what they saw now was no cleaned-out husk. Now the cubicle was lived in. A soft screen was slewed at an angle across the desk, and data scrolled across it, unremarked, while a frame in one corner bore what looked like a news broadcast, a talking head with miniature graphics. There were more signs of work in progress. A cut-off soda can adapted as a pencil holder. Pens and pencils scattered over the desk with big yellow legal pads. A couple of hard-copy newspapers folded over and propped up. But what was more revealing than heartbreaking was the kipple, the personal stuff and litter that defined this as Kate's space and no other. The steaming coffee in a thermoware cup, scrunched-up food wrappers, a prop-up calendar, an ugly, angular 1990s-style digital clock, a souvenir portrait, Bobby and Kate against the exotic background of Revelation Land, tacked ironically to one partition. The chair was pushed back from the desk and was still rotating slowly. We missed her by seconds, he thought. Mary was staring intently at the image, mouth open, fascinated by this window into the past, as everybody was the first time.
We were just there. It's so different. It's incredible.
And now Kate walked from off stage into the image, as Bobby had known she would. She was wearing a simple, practical smock, and a lick of hair was draped over her forehead, catching her eyes. She was frowning, concentrating, her fingers on the keyboard even before she had sat down. He found it hard to speak. I know. The Boeing VR facility turned out to be a chamber fitted with row upon row of open steel cages, perhaps 100 of them, David speculated. Beyond glass walls, white-coated engineers moved among brightly lit banks of computer equipment. The cages were gimbaled to move in three dimensions, and each of them contained a skeletal suit of rubber and steel, fitted with sensors and manipulators. David was strapped tightly into one of these, and he had to fight feelings of claustrophobia as his limbs were pinned in place. He waved away the genital attachment, which was absurdly huge, like a vacuum flask.
I don't think I'll be needing that on this trip.
A female tech held a helmet up before his head. It was a hollowed-out mass of electronics. Before it descended, he looked for Hiram. His father was in a cage at the other end of a row a few ranks ahead of him.
You seem a long way away.
Hiram raised a gloved hand, flexed his fingers.
It won't make a difference once we're immersed.
His voice echoed in the cavernous hall.
What do you think of the facility? Pretty impressive, huh?
He winked. David thought of the mind's eye, Bobby's simple headband apparatus, a few hundred grams of metal which, by interfacing directly to the central nervous system, could replace all this total touch-enclosure Boeing gadgetry. Once more, it seemed, Hiram had a winner. He let the tech drop the helmet over his head, and he was suspended in darkness, which cleared slowly, murkily. He saw Hiram's face hovering before him. It was illuminated by a soft red light.
First impressions, Hiram snapped.
He stepped back, revealing a landscape. David glanced around. Water, a sloping, gravelly ground, a red sky. When he moved his head too rapidly, the image crumbled, winking into pixels, and he could feel the helmet's heavy movement. The horizon curved, quite sharply, as if he were viewing it from some great altitude. And on that horizon there were low, eroded hills whose shoulders reflected in the water. The air seemed thin, and he felt cold. He said,
First impressions? Beach at sunset. But that's no sun I ever saw.
The sun was a ball of red light fading to a yellow-orange at its center. It was sitting on the sharp, mist-free horizon and was flattened to a lens shape, presumably by refraction. But it was immense, much bigger than the sun of Earth, a red glowing dome covering perhaps a tenth of the sky.